This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. As part of a New York Times series on class in America, yesterday the paper ran an article about the growing wealth, education, and influence of evangelical Christians. To illustrate the point, the reporters Lori Goodstein and David Kirkpatrick focused on the presence of evangelicals on Ivy League campuses, which the article described as part of an expanding beachhead of evangelicals in the American elite. These changes defy the old stereotypes of evangelicals as less well-off, more rural, and concentrated in the South and West. A little later, we'll hear from the founder and a student member of the Christian Union, an evangelical group for Ivy League students, and we'll talk with Princeton University's Dean of Religious Life. My first guest is David Kirkpatrick, co-author of the Times article. After covering the conservative movement in the U.S., he recently became a congressional correspondent for the Times. For your article on class in the New York Times, why did you decide to focus on the growing evangelical population on Ivy League campuses?
We were attracted to the subject of evangelical Christianity on the Ivy League campuses because there are two images in the popular mind, both of which are changing. On the one hand, there's an image of evangelical Protestants as, by and large, in the South, less educated, less affluent, and less inclined towards intellectual activities. And on the other hand, there's an image of the Ivy League as rich, northeastern, elitist, secular, and liberal. And it seems like a sort of collision of opposites, because both of those things are changing. On the one hand, evangelical Christians are much more likely to be educated and affluent and sophisticated and inclined to get involved and change the broader culture than they were certainly 40 years ago. On the other hand, partly because of that, the Ivy League campuses are much more culturally diverse than they were, and religiously diverse than they were even a few decades ago, with a much stronger and more visible presence of evangelical Christians. And I think that's going to surprise a lot of people.
You write that pollsters agree that the proportion of evangelicals in America hasn't changed for decades. It's about 25% of the population. But what has changed is the class status of a lot of evangelicals. How has that changed?
Evangelical Christians historically differed from mainline Protestants, people who were in the Episcopal Church or the Presbyterian Church or the Methodist Church, for example, in their level of affluence and education. And that continues to a certain extent. But they're converging. There's been a dramatic convergence. Evangelical Christians aren't as likely to be less well off, aren't as likely to be less educated in terms of formal college education or advanced degrees than they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
What's changed that's responsible for that demographic change?
Well, that's a good question. It's impossible to draw an exact cause and effect there, but a couple of things come to mind right away. If you speak to evangelical Christians, from time to time you'll hear people say that the will of God is obviously a factor in this kind of a thing, and there's no arguing against that possibility. It's also, some people say that the GI Bill sort of kicked this off. There's some significant overlap between conservative Christian culture and the military, and I think that enabled a lot of people from those backgrounds to go to college and climb the ladder. Another explanation is that the Sun Belt boom in the South and the West meant a lot of money and population flowing into the parts of the country where evangelical Protestantism was always strongest, and that helped lift the level of affluence and general education of the people in those areas, including a lot of evangelical Protestants.
What are some of the ways that the change in class of evangelicals is affecting the Christian culture in the United States and the business culture in the United States?
Well, here again, it's impossible to draw an exact cause and effect. But it seems natural enough to me that given that the population, that the percentage of the population that that holds these religious views hasn't changed, but their visibility and their influence has expanded enormously, that it's a natural enough explanation that the change in social class status of evangelical Christians as a group has a lot to do with that, and you can see it manifest in, you know, the markets for popular culture, in the book market, in the growth of Christian bookstores, in the audience for Christian movies, in the donations to Christian philanthropies, in the money that's gone into building enormous theologically conservative megachurches around the country. What we wrote about, which is the growing presence of theologically conservative Christians in the Ivy League schools, which were always regarded as somewhat justifiably as sort of citadels of secular liberalism.
The specific organization that you looked at is a group called the Christian Union, that is a group of evangelicals on Ivy League campuses. Would you describe this relatively new group?
Christian Union is about 3 years old. It was founded by a gentleman named Matt Bennett, who had worked for Campus Crusade for Christ at Princeton. And he saw a need for a special organization that would help nurture and develop evangelical Christianity on the Ivy League campuses. He knew that most of the Ivy League schools were initially founded by Protestant ministers with an explicitly Christian purpose. And I think he was frankly dismayed to see that today they've become much more liberal, much more secular, and in the eyes of many evangelical Christians, almost hostile to their brand of faith. And he wanted to change that. And so he went about trying to reach out to affluent conservative Christians, alumni of these schools, to say, hey, you know, Catholics have Newman Centers, Jews have Hillel houses on these campuses. We should get together, raise some money, and establish footholds for evangelical Christianity on these campuses so that we can try and encourage the Christian students who go there in their faith and maybe even attract some other students to our brand of spirituality.
So the founder of the Christian Union had been a member of the Campus Crusade for Christ. Can you talk a little bit more about how those two groups compare?
Campus Crusade for Christ is a national organization that tries to support and foster evangelical Christianity on campuses around the country. And it is strongest at schools in the South and the West and the big state schools. And I think it's had a more difficult time in the Northeast, where evangelical Christianity in general is not as strong. And Matt Bennett, the founder of Christian Union, felt that Campus Crusade was struggling in the Ivy League schools, partly because it was having trouble recruiting workers, staff, who wanted to be in that environment and who could relate to the students there, you know, who were ready and able to make the case for that brand of faith in a way that was going to be compelling to the students at Ivy League schools.
What are the goals of the Christian Union?
Well, I think their short-term goal is to try to make the Ivy League campuses a more hospitable place for evangelical Protestants, for people who hold a very conservative view of theology. Beyond that, I think they would like to spread that faith to other students, to faculty, to graduate students, to the campus at large. And even beyond that, I think they are hoping to change the broader culture, and they consider the Ivy League schools to play an important role in that. They realize that a lot of influential people in every field, in business and law and education and politics, come through those schools, and if they can change the culture of those schools, they think they can make an impact on the broader culture from the top down. The culture of the Ivy League schools today is the culture of the rest of the country in 20 years. And so by turning those schools in a more traditionalist, theologically conservative direction, they can have a much broader impact beyond what they could accomplish at another school, beyond their numbers even.
Are there any guidelines on Ivy League campuses about missionizing, trying to convert on the campus?
Not that I know of. I think anybody is allowed to articulate any point of view they want to if they do it respectfully. And I'm quite certain that all of these evangelical Christian groups are very respectful when they go out and try to spread their point of view. Very polite, very cordial.
Do you know if the Christian Union plans to try to influence the curriculum on Ivy League campuses, specifically in the areas that evangelists most object to, like evolution, stem cell research, or any kind of workshops on women's health that would include information about abortion?
I don't think so. I think that would be a tall order. But I think it's, you know, I just think that the people who are writing up the curriculums and running these campuses are a long way from being persuaded by the relatively small group of students who like to hang out at a Bible study on Friday night and talk about the Bible, talk about evangelical Christianity. But I do think that what they're trying to do is to set up a kind of counterbalance so that you're an evangelical student from an evangelical background, or you've come to an evangelical faith later in life, and you find yourself at Brown or Yale or Princeton, and your professors are saying things that are troubling to you, that are about evolution, that are about, you know, the history of biblical times, and you know what the people who were writing these texts might have been, and who these people who were writing these texts might have been, and what they might have been thinking. And you find, as a student, you think, wait a second, how do I make this jibe with what I've been taught in Bible study or what I was taught in Sunday school before I got here? So these evangelical groups are trying to set up a kind of a shelter where other students who feel this way can come together and try to support each other in their own views, which may mean resisting the views that they're taught in the classroom. They get together and they say, you know, we can come here at our Bible study and encourage each other that when Professor so-and-so laughs at our faith, we know, you know, back home there are plenty of other smart people who agree with us that we're still right.
How are the gay groups on campus, or just the gay students on campus, coexisting with the evangelical groups and the evangelical students on campus?
Well, that's an interesting question, because whenever you go and meet with an evangelical student group on one of these campuses, it turns out that you know, one or two of the students found themselves in a position where they were rooming with a gay or lesbian student. And I think, by and large, people respect each other. What you hear a lot of is hate the sin and love the sinner. I don't think that the gay student groups particularly admire the evangelical groups. I don't think they celebrate what the evangelical groups are trying to do on the campus. But right now on most of these campuses, the gay groups are a lot more visible and probably a lot bigger force than the evangelical student groups, at least if we're talking about the Ivy League campuses.
How big would you say the evangelical groups on the Ivy League campuses are now?
I think it's going to vary from school to school. At Brown University, where I spent a lot of time, in part because it has a reputation as the most secular and most liberal of the Ivies, the chaplain estimates that out of a student body of 5,700 or so students at any given time, about 400 will be participating in one of the evangelical fellowship groups or another, which she says is more than the number of mainline Protestants who are active in those groups.
What else did the chaplain of Brown have to say about the Christian Union?
The chaplain of Brown was of the perspective that these evangelical student groups are, by and large, a kind of a transitional phase for theologically conservative students who get to Brown and find it a little bit dizzying, you know, who want some support, who come from a different background and want to be kind of bolstered while they adjust to this new atmosphere. And her own perspective was that as they get exposed to more ideas and more confident in themselves, they will gradually move away and adopt a more pluralistic outlook. Now, the evangelical students find that point of view condescending.
David, you've been covering the conservative movement in America for the New York Times, and as part of that, you've been covering the evangelical movement and culture. And I'm wondering, do you think the growing evangelical culture is a culture of people who want the freedom to live the way they want to live and have the values they want to have? Or do you think it's a culture that not only wants the freedom to do that, but wants to change the rest of the culture to conform to its vision of values?
Well, I don't think that there are many evangelical Christians who would use the word conform. I think that evangelical Christianity, by definition, includes a desire to spread the faith, to share the faith, to teach others what they consider to be the good news of the gospel. And I think in the last 30 years, there has been a sense among many evangelical Protestants that the broader culture has become hostile to them and to their point of view, that especially since, for example, the prayer in the school decisions in the Supreme Courts, the culture is making it harder for them to transmit their own values to the next generation. So from their point of view, it's not that they want the rest of the world to conform to their outlook. It's just that they want a fair chance to pass on their outlook and to spread it respectfully to others. But the question you ask really gets at the tension there, because if you're someone who holds that there is a single absolute truth, there's only one way to be saved, for example, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a collision with a broader culture that emphasizes a plurality of perspectives on those kinds of matters.
David Kirkpatrick, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thanks.
David Kirkpatrick co-wrote the article in yesterday's New York Times about evangelical Christians and Ivy League campuses. It's part of the Times series on class in America.